WCVE Public Radio. Jeff Shapiro joins us now from the Richmond Times-Dispatch for his Friday morning analysis of Virginia political news. Good morning, Jeff.
Good morning, Wayne.
Well, as we alluded to a week ago, Democrat Senator Mark Warner of Virginia and Republican Senator Chambliss of Georgia brought their bipartisan deficit-cutting campaign to Richmond this week for an appearance before the State Chamber of Commerce.
Yeah, I think what's important here, and I don't know if it can be overemphasized, you know, this is Eric Cantor's hometown, so I think the appearance by Warner and Chambliss takes on some additional significance. Of course, you know, Warner is trying to rehabilitate, his image. Even with that big tax increase he won as governor back in 2004, the record and the reputation have been dinged up somewhat by his support of Obama health care reform and that very expensive economic stimulus program. So in pushing this bipartisan, you know, everything on the table fix to the debt problem, he's clearly trying to eliminate some of the wrinkles, if you will. Now, Cantor, in contrast, as the number two Republican in the House, may be viewed as given to somewhat, oversimplified answers and solutions to this budget and fiscal problem that the nation faces. The majority leader insists that, you know, all we have to do is kind of, you know, cut our way back to prosperity. And there was a bit of a debate on this point, albeit by long distance, by Warner and Chambliss and Cantor over about 2 days.
Well, the 2012 election campaign, believe it or not, is upon us. They've already had a forum in Iowa of would-be presidential contenders. And here in Virginia, we have a Senate race. It's going to be an open seat with Senator Jim Webb stepping down. We're still waiting for Tim Kaine to say whether he's going to seek the Democratic nomination for the seat. Of course, we know former Senator George Allen is running and some other Republican contenders in the field as well. But how's it look to you at this point? Is Kaine going to run?
Well, you know, there is the argument that the longer he waits, the greater the likelihood that he is going to do something. Clearly, to the frustration of Democrats, he hasn't said anything sooner. Going to such lengths as announcing yesterday that he would not be announcing his plans today. One's got to love Jim Nolan's lead on this story in the TD. Talk about March Madness. Now, of course, the Republicans have a couple of announced candidates, Tea Partier Jamie Ratke, and, of course, George Allen, who wants his old job back. George Allen is recycling his campaign manager from the 93 gubernatorial bid, a guy by the name of Mike Thomas. He's out of the anti-abortion movement, worked in the governor's administration, was a lobbyist. This is part of a deliberate effort to telegraph to Virginia voters that Allen's really serious about grounding himself in Virginia issues. He's not going to be distracted by his national ambitions. And there's this argument that somehow he lost the 06 race because he had a lousy crew of come-heres as political operatives. You know, he could have done something about that, chose not to. Maybe he lost in 06 because he was just a bad candidate. And, the word for that is now macaca.
A little bit over 2 minutes to go. Well, you wrote this week that Allen may be his own worst enemy in this.
Well, I think beyond this, the macaca episode, clearly has to convince African Americans that he's not racially insensitive. And then, of course, this is a much different state. We have Asians and Latinos in significant numbers. They're going to want to hear something from Allen on this. And then on some of these big policy issues, I mean, the Tea Partiers see him as nothing more than a big debt free-spending Republican, and then the old-timey conservatives, comparatively speaking, say Reagan type, you know, they want to know that he's kind of the Republican who changed the direction of government when he was in Richmond back in the early 90s, getting rid of parole, requiring welfare recipients to work. So he's got a lot of work for him.
Mm-hmm. About a minute and a half now. Bob McDonald's restoration of civil rights to felons, former felons, has accelerated well beyond the pace of most of his predecessors.
Olympia Miola pointing this out in a story yesterday. The governor has already acted on about 1,125 cases. At this rate, he's on track to perhaps match Tim Kaine's record, certainly exceed Mark Warner's record. There have been seven absolute pardons in all of this. Six of those involved prisoners who were terminally ill. The governor had promised to speed the process, and he seems to be doing just that, but there's still this unsettled issue, and that is making it even easier to have rights restored, particularly for nonviolent felons, making it an administrative process. The Senate likes that idea. The House does not, and we'll probably debate it again next year.
Mm-hmm. We have only about 30 seconds. Any final thoughts before we leave the air today?
Well, we are still hearing a lot from Bob McDonnell on that situation out in Wisconsin. He was on the NewsHour this week defending Scott Walker's conduct in Wisconsin. But, of course, the governor seems to be having some difficulty with the question that what works in Wisconsin doesn't necessarily work in Virginia or elsewhere. And, of course, this is a state where collective bargaining for public employees is prohibited.
Thanks to Jeff Shapiro of the Richmond Times-Dispatch. Sean will be joining you next Friday morning, and I'll see you in a couple of weeks, Jeff.
Cheers.
Thanks again. It's 8:40.
This is Morning Edition from NPR News. Steve Inskeep is on assignment in Cairo. I'm Ari Shapiro.
And I'm Renee Montaigne. President